We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen as Pastor Matt Postiff explains and applies the biblical text one verse at a time. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified. Join us now as Pastor Postiff opens God's Word. Okay, well, last time that we looked at this material was actually, I don't know when. I had written down in June, but I think it was a little longer ago than that because we've done a couple of series in the meanwhile. Coming back to our series on Christian character, and we left off in the character trait of diligence. So we're going to pick up there again, but because both you and I have forgotten where we were, we're going to review a little bit of diligence. We've looked at a number of things. Diligence and hard work, kind of the opposite of laziness. I think we started into this before. If we didn't, well, this will be new to you. Seems to me that we can build a case for Christians to be the most hardworking, least lazy, most diligent, clean, well-groomed, and dressed people around. We should have discipline and be the exact opposite of lazy. Of course, we should know how to rest, but we should know how to work, and that work will make our rest that much sweeter. Diligence, as I just give a definition, refers to showing care and conscientiousness in one's duties or one's work. To be conscientious, then, in turn, means that someone desires their work or duties to do their work or duties well or thoroughly, not half-heartedly. We were discussing something of this yesterday. The idea was brought up, well, how do we handle the situation where our job description is X, but in order to accomplish X, there's something that bleeds over into somebody else's technical job description that they're not doing, or something that's just maybe not been assigned properly to someone, and so we're left, okay, should I step outside of my boundaries? Is my boss going to be upset at me or whatever? And so we discussed kind of some of the intricacies of that. But the idea that I would bring to you today is that if it's needed to be done, if it needs to be done for you to do your work diligently, then you need to see to it that it gets done. Because if not, then your work won't be completed as it needs to be. So it's okay to be diligent. It's okay to be an eager beaver. You know what I mean? People don't want you sometimes to be an eager beaver. Why? Because it makes them look bad. It means there's less need to hire an extra person, or it's less job security for someone. But Christians don't regard laziness as a virtue that should be promoted or propagated. So if something needs done, we do it. Proverbs 15:19 tells us that that life generally works a whole lot better if you are not lazy. Proverbs 15:19. I have these written down in my notes. These are available, too, online, down around page 65 now, if you're actually following along in the notes. 15:19 says of Proverbs, "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." So I'm sure that you, like me, would rather be walking through down a highway than through a hedge of thorns. It is very difficult to do that. And laziness, although you think it makes life easier, actually makes it harder. That's the scriptural principle. Ezra was a good example of this. Let me go back to Ezra. So I'll find him after 2 Chronicles in Ezra chapter 7. Verse number 10. This doesn't use the word diligence per se, but it shows the kind of diligence that we're talking about. "For Ezra," it says, "had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. He made a diligent effort in that regard. Now, that verse summarizes probably decades of work from youth on up into his young adult years and into his 30s, 40s, and 50s. Diligent work to prepare himself to seek God's law, not only to seek it, but to do it, not only to do it, but to teach it to others so that they would do it as well. So, diligence. We just lay out a little kind of introduction there. There are tons and tons of Bible passages on this. I'm on 65 right now. Bible passages is the heading. And we're just looking at some texts now about hard work, about diligence. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter only leads to poverty. It's hard to argue against these things, isn't it? Well, these are Bible. So, in all labor there is profit. So what is the profit of, you know, digging a ditch or, you know, going out and pulling weeds out of the flower bed or the garden? Well, think of the profit that is. Just the character-building profit for a young person or for any person, get them out of the chair, the physical profit, exercise, movement, getting your hands into the soil. You know, not all of us are like, that's in the pulling weeds example, but it could be any labor. You know, not all of us are men of the soil like some of the Bible characters were, but some of us are. There are other ways that we may like to work and do things. In all labor, there is profit. Now, it doesn't mean it's the most profitable. There are other things that can be more profitable, like, you know, fellowship with God's people and being in church and worshiping God. There's profit there as well. Godliness is profitable in all things. Physical exercise is profitable, offers some profit, Paul tells Timothy, but godliness is profitable for all. In Colossians chapter 3, the scripture tells us, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So you're wanting to do your work in a way that would be approved by God, not just kind of skate by on minimal, minimal rubrics or, you know, minimal standard that will just kind of get you by. And if you don't do that, sometimes it comes back to bite you, you know, if you're lazy. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Ultimately, you're not looking for the approval of a person. You're looking for the approval of the Lord. So hard work, diligence, doing your work conscientiously, thoroughly. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So the idea is, if nothing else, hunger will drive someone on to do what they are supposed to do. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. No profit in that. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness, okay, knock off the busybody stuff, and eat their own bread. Eat their own bread. That busybody stuff, by the way, is a scourge today. Much of Facebook is busybody stuff. Much of social media is that, and we just need to get off of it. We need to get out of it. We need to put it aside and stop wondering about what everybody else is doing and how they're doing it and what they're wearing and how they look like and all this sort of stuff, what the latest gossip is and everything, and focus on doing our own work. That's not on diligence per se, but that's on being a busybody. I've been increasingly convinced of that over the years, and it's been frustrating because people waste so much time on those things. Proverbs 12:11, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. And one of my favorites from Ecclesiastes, the wisdom there from Solomon, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Why? Because there's no doing after you're done with this life. There's one opportunity in this life. There's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Now, we can talk about the theology of the afterlife in the Old Testament and all that, but there's still a point to be made, even though we understand we're going to go and spend eternity with Christ and we're going to serve Him. But there's only one life in this fashion where we can serve Him and be a prophet to sinners who need to be saved and go to that wonderful heavenly state that we are looking forward to. Always know that your work is not in vain, and so you can abound in it, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Don't grow weary while doing good. Weariness of a sort I'm talking about here. I think Scripture is not saying to not work so hard that you get tired. It's saying don't grow mentally, spiritually weary of it, although you may be physically weary. Like by the end of Sunday, I can be pretty tired. But then again, along about 10 or 11 o'clock every night, I get this feeling of being tired and needing to go to bed. So that's just a natural part of life. But don't grow weary while doing good. It can become wearisome sometimes when it's not received well. But in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's Galatians 6:9. 1 Thessalonians 4, that's more about work and minding your own business. So we'll leave that. We've talked about that already. We can learn a lesson from the ants. We could learn a lesson from the bees. I tell you, those bees are something else. We have a nest that has appeared in one of our parts of the building over here, and it's a real scourge. But those bees are very diligent, and there are probably hundreds of them working on that thing. And so we need to get that exterminated somehow. But go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Same thing with the squirrels, you know. The diligent squirrels will store up their nuts, and you'll get little oak trees growing in our property because they've buried one of those acorns, and that is in our flower beds and things sometimes. We actually have one out here in this flower bed. We've had a couple of little trees trying to form, but we don't like trees growing that close to buildings. We had actually one there years ago, but that was an elm tree, and we took it down finally. It was within a couple feet of the building, so glad that's gone. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Well, and in fact, that's what God made us to do. If you think about it, Genesis 2:15, put Adam in the garden to tend to it. So work, this is a revelation to some people, but work is not a pre or a post-fall thing. It's a pre-fall thing. Now, the laboriousness of work, the difficulty of it certainly has been increased by the fall, but work itself is not, and it can be very enjoyable. There are over 60 verses in Scripture that speak about diligence and laziness. And we should think of laziness and diligence in every area of our lives. You know, you might be diligent in one area of your life, but are you diligent in other areas of your life? You're diligent in your job, but are you diligent at home? Are you diligent with your children? Are you diligent with your church? You know, those different departments, think about those, because we can kind of get this self-satisfied idea. Like, you know, I'm very competent in my job, or I do this very well. I'm very diligent about this, and my life is well planned out. You know, I do that stuff. But then there are other areas maybe that you have forgotten about or left behind. I'll mention one this morning in 2 Peter 1:5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and all that list of virtues there, which is actually what we're doing with this study. We're looking at Christian virtues here, and we're trying to add them to our complement that we have. Be diligent to make your call and election sure. Be diligent to be found by Him in peace, all those in 2 Peter, without spot and blameless. So far better to be diligent about your spiritual life than anything else. Certainly don't leave that behind. Peter's concerned that we make a sanctified, faith-filled effort to grow, to make our call and election sure. That means to strengthen our assurance of faith by pursuing the character traits that we've been talking about in this series, particularly the ones that Peter mentions that we'll look at later this morning briefly. Working on those things instead of going around doing other worldly things is like growth fertilizer. Fertilizer to your Christian life. And then, of course, in Peter, he keeps on top of mind that the day of the Lord is coming, and that will help you to be diligent to be found by him, because you know it could be at any time that he comes to snatch the church at the rapture, and you don't want to be messing around when that happens. Not that you won't necessarily go in the rapture. If you're truly born again, you shall, but you know, we all know that each of us as believers aren't always being diligent, are we? We're not always being found without spot by him when he looks down upon us. Now, I think we mentioned this maybe before, but the word diligent in the Bible often is translated from the Greek verb spoudazo. And when we give our Truth Tracker awards to our kids, that the culmination of that, they get the Spoudazo Award, which is kind of strangely named, Greek-named award to complete the program because they've been diligent in memorizing the verses and attending the classes. Here it is. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We know another children's program called Awana that uses that same theme verse, doesn't it? So the Spoudazo Award, to be diligent. A similar theme is found in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 11. It says, Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So there's no room for a kind of lazy approach to your Christian faith. You know, playing at church is not the thing to be doing. Playing at church. Let us be diligent to enter that rest. Maybe somewhat paradoxical to you, but I think it makes sense if you ponder it for a while, and as you grow in the faith, you'll understand better that, you know, because you're saying, well, diligence, rest. How do those two things go together? Well, this is the rest from your self-effort, the rest of law-keeping, the rest from all the blasted things that prevent you from receiving God and his love. Instead, being diligent to enter the rest, which is entered really by faith, by trust, by abandoning your own efforts and abandoning your own wisdom and all of that in order to be found in him. So be diligent to enter that. And then that comes out in terms of obedience to him. Like in Hebrews, let's see, it's in, where is it? Can't find it on this pagination of the Bible here. Well, I thought it was in chapter 3. Let's see. Yeah, so at the end of 3, well, if we become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, so there's a diligence involved in that, not hardening your hearts. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? Here it is, 3:18. But to those who did not obey. So we see that they could not enter in because of, notice what it says next, they could not enter in because of unbelief. They disobeyed by unbelief. They didn't believe God when he said to them, go in, I'll make you prosper, you'll win the battles against these people in the land of Canaan. They did not believe God. They didn't believe his messengers. They didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. They were hardened in their hearts. They were full of fear, not full of faith, and so they did not enter. And that's a disobedience. Their lack of faith led to a disobedience. So our faith should lead to obedience. We should be diligent to enter that rest and not fall according to the same example of disobedience. That's what true believers do. Christian faith now, as we think more about diligence in this area of faith, Christian faith is not least interested in God or somewhat interested in God and His things. It is most interested in God and His things. It diligently seeks Him by its very nature. Exodus 15, 26, I'm on page 67 of the notes, and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God to do what is right in His sight, to give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am the one who heals you." And similar statements in Deuteronomy 4, 6, and 28, Psalm 119, "You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently." The people of Israel were lazy about keeping God's commands, and they found out the hard way. You know, that they weren't diligent to put away the high places. They weren't diligent to have everybody come to the central altar to worship. They weren't diligent to root out idolatry. They were lazy. Well, it's difficult. It causes conflict. It's not like the nations all around us. It's just easier to live and let live. What was it? Somebody said it's not a mark of your faith or a mark of our practice is not what you believe, but what you tolerate. Who said that? I can't remember. Anyway, I saw that in the last week or two. What do you tolerate in your life? What do you tolerate? So don't be lazy when it comes to obedience. Teach your children diligently. We try to provide that here through the church. I know it's not always easy to get everybody, well, in our case, get everybody gathered around at one time if everybody's moving in different directions and working and school and all of that. But if we can gather at these times during the week at least to receive instruction in the Word of God, we teach our children diligently. Culturally, often we're more concerned about having our children learn general education or sports so that they can be successful in the eyes of the world or be socially well-developed. But spiritual things are more important, much, much, much more important in the big scheme of things. Rooting out false teaching as well. So they were lazy about that in Israel. We don't want to be that way. "You shall inquire and search out," Deuteronomy 13, 14, "and ask diligently if indeed it's true and this certain abomination was committed among you, then they need to remove it." That's Deuteronomy 13 and 17 about false prophecy or idolatry. Someone is to be investigated carefully and removed from the church that way. 2 Chronicles 29, it says, "The priests were too few so that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore their brethren, the Levites, helped them until the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests." Now this is an utter embarrassment. This is just shameful. The priests were caught, red-handed. You know, they were caught being lazy, empty-handed. The Levites were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests. I mean, this is red-faced stuff here. And they should have known better than that. Regarding the feasts, they have to be ready. 2 Chronicles also tells us, "Then Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God." Now that's interesting, isn't it? He made them. As the king, he led the people of Israel to serve the Lord their God. "And all his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers." What a leader can do to just set the tone, to set the direction, to say, "This is what we're going to do. We're not going to vote on it. We're not going to mess around. We're not, you know, kind of allow this and that and everything, tolerate that and everything else. We're just going to follow the Lord. And that's what we want to do. Yes, sir. Yes, yeah, that was a helpful comment, one that we all need to take heed to, that fathers need to be diligent to lead their families. Look, if dad is lazy about going to church, guess what the rest of the family is going to be? Lazy. They're just not going to do it. They're going to see it's not that important. They're going to see there's other things that are more important. And then what normally happens is that the next generation is typically going to be even more lazy about it than you are. So don't do that. If at least give them the best example that you can as a father. The second temple now is being built with heavy stones, Ezra 5:8 tells us, and timber is being laid in the walls, and this work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. We need that, just around the house of God here in this building too. We need diligent hands to do the work that's necessary indoors and outdoors and with bee nests and wood chips and weeds and all that sort of thing. We want the work to go on diligently. There they did, and of course it became a issue of contention because the outsiders didn't want them to have a diligent rebuilding effort of the temple. Then Ezra 7, I, Artaxerxes, the king, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in the region beyond the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God, of the God of heaven may require of you, let it be done diligently. Now this is amazing. It's wonderful. Here's a secular king telling his treasurers, look, you support that work. Make sure it gets done diligently. Don't mess around with it. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done diligently for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Now, he's kind of maybe an ecumenical type, we want that God to be happy and want that God to be happy and this God to be happy and all that. But you can appreciate at least that he wanted it to be done diligently. Don't be late. In other words, unbelievers understand this. And if you're a believer and you're a bit lazy and you've got some diligent coworkers, what kind of testimony is that to them? Let's see, what else? Psalm 77:6. I called remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. But also, there are sinners who are diligent in their sin. Proverbs 7. So the strange woman says, I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. So just know that sinners out there are working diligently as well. Very much so. Giving a lot of effort to misdirecting God's people or just people in general. I love those who love me, Proverbs 8 about wisdom says, and those who seek me diligently will find me. If you one thing you can do to find wisdom is to ask God, James tells us. He will give you liberally and without reproach. Seek and you will find wisdom, but you have to seek it. You have to want it. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Well, I'm just looking ahead of my notes and seeing the Bible has a whole lot to say about this subject. You know that? It may seem that laziness is the easy way out sometimes, but in fact it's not. You do not enjoy your rest as much, too, if you're lazy, because if you're resting a lot of the time anyway, you don't need rest. you waste what God gives you. The soul of the lazy man desires but has nothing. The soul of the diligent is made rich. Laziness casts into a deep sleep. Idle persons will suffer hunger. That's Proverbs 19, has a couple verses on that. Strange. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. I don't even understand that. He's so lazy that you do things that don't even make sense. It's crazy. Well, I'll move on here and hit a couple of other highlights. I went by the field of the lazy man. Well, Ecclesiastes 10, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. You know, we're never going to come to a point where our church building, our houses, or our barns or whatever are going to be done and never need maintenance again because of the world that we're in. Now, in heaven, it will be a different matter, okay? But here, moths, rust, rain, water, you know, mold, all that stuff happens. And the field of the lazy man, he goes by, Proverbs 24, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding, and there it was all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. We have a stone wall that's a retaining wall along our road, Charing Cross Road there on one of the properties, and you can see rocks have fallen out of it down the hill, and there's a few of them there. And I know that there were some before, and I took note that somebody came along and got some cement or mortar and, you know, threw it in there and put the rocks back in there and repaired it. And that was good, but it keeps happening because the mortar keeps degrading. We had that problem here a few years back. You might remember we had to hire a company to retuck point a lot of the brickwork. In fact, tear down half of our chimney out here and rebuild it because it was disintegrating due to the weather and the acidity of the gases from the boiler and all those years of service. So we don't want our bricks to fall down. A regular passerby can tell if the property owner is lazy. I don't take there to be an exception to this for our modern technology culture, where our work, quote unquote, is all inside in the office. Oh, I'm busy inside. I cannot attend to outside. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to make your house property like the Garden of Eden or the Gardens of Versailles in France. Functional, clean, not necessarily fancy, but certainly well kept. Somebody says, there's a lion outside. I can't do anything. You know, it's going to rain. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too humid. Listen, it's all right. You go out and work, and if you sweat a little bit, good. Get a shower. Be on your way. No big deal. Always a flimsy excuse. You know, I'm so busy with life stuff. I'm not being paid enough. It's too hard. My wife works outside the home, so I don't have to do that. The weather's not great. Someone else will take care of it. In fact, they should take care of it. Why should I have to take care of it? I deserve better. Someone else will support me. I earned those benefits. All those excuses. So you are like a lazy man and turn like a door on a hinge in your bed, Proverbs says, to make some humor of it. Nonsense and laziness. Well, let me pick out a couple others here. God calls for that diligence in considering your spiritual life. We've talked about that. Jesus condemns the wicked and lazy servant who hid his, you know, money in a napkin, as it were, put it in the ground and didn't do anything with it. We have to use our spiritual gifts with diligence. What gift do you have? What service are you doing in the church? If you're not doing anything in the body of the local church, then what should you be doing? And you should be doing it with diligence. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So don't let your diligence slack or lag. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So you should be not just kind of doing minimal. You should be doing as much as you can for the Lord. and be diligent about it. Do it conscientiously. Do it well. Abound in it, in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all diligence. Well, we don't have much time left. Here's a few more verses on the 74th page of the notes you can look at. A caution here, though, just because you are diligent in many areas does not mean that you are a Christian person or that you are hardworking in the right areas. You could be diligent and think that earns favor with God, but that's not spiritual mindedness. Mere secular diligence, you know, because of the benefits it gives you, like status or wealth, is not spiritual. Christian diligence is diligence pursued in the honor of God, to push back against the sin nature, to help others to accomplish the stewardship God has given to you. It has to be God-centered, not self-centered. So we're trying to serve the Lord from the heart and not be men-pleasers. So you have to ask yourself something, too, of the motivation of your diligence. Are you motivated the right way? By faith and obedience to God and love for Him, or are you diligent, because of just the benefits that that gives to you? So, diligence, one of our Christian character traits that we want to highlight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to study this. I pray that you will help each one add to their faith these virtues that we've talked about, including an eschewing of laziness, an embracing of diligence, of hard work, of conscientiousness in faith, and to honor and glorify you, and not just for the secular or mundane benefits that it provides. May you bless your people here and those online listening with that character trait, and that we would be the kind of people that we should be. I pray that for our college students who are starting tomorrow, both remotely and here in town, that they will be diligent in their studies. They will not be sidetracked by social nonsense and other things, that they will be diligent in continuing to make an effort, despite the time constraints they might have, to make an effort to be in your word and to be thinking spiritual things. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.